Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Good evening, everyone. It's August 9th. It's Sunday, August 9th at approximately 10 o'clock. And welcome to WSCIRO, C Christian Internet Radio Outreach for Greater Boston. And I'm Dr. Shirley Canis, one of the general managers. The other general manager is my dearly beloved husband, Dr. Jeffrey Canis. And are going to be on for about a good hour, in 1 minute specifically. And we were wondering and praying what the Lord wanted to talk about. And there's several things that we could talk about, if we don't seek the Lord. But because we sought the Lord, and because of a growing concern for the teachings of the church and what people experience in the glory, especially the manifestations, we thought we'd talk about the role, okay, of Jesus' mother Mary in the glory. And what does Scripture say about that? And what is going on today, in relation to many believers who have actually had visitations of some of them private, some of them public. Visitation of Mary, the mother of Jesus, with messages that are biblical. And I know that, I hope and pray that I don't lose any of my Facebook friends, but because this is going to go out to Facebook. But basically, here's a scoop, folks. We need to embrace all aspects of our of Scripture and our family, the family of God, and you have to understand the theology. I don't even want to say theology, but the theology of eternal life as it pertains to everyday believers and what we need to believe as believers, okay, in relation to the glory. Because now that the glory is being revealed and being released and the heavens are opening up through worship, the mysteries of heaven are coming to God's people, because we are containers of the glory of God. The kingdom of God is within us. And, if we understand that much, we have to, want, the next step is, if the kingdom of God is within us and it's about ready to be released in power and glory, what does it take for that to happen? And by what authority? And we all know it's the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, and under the authority of Jesus, through the inspiration and impartation and dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, okay, can the kingdom be manifest on the earth. But who resides in the kingdom? Okay, as heaven touches the earth, as heaven draws near to the earth, and what does that entail? And, if we could just, throw our own biases aside, we need to understand the role of the greatest woman that has ever lived, okay, Mary, Jesus' mother. So, and she's not only, I know some people think, a Catholic, but she's Jewish. She's a Jewish mom, okay? We need to understand Miriam, our Jewish mom. So before we go further into this, right, my husband's going to pray. We're going to ask for the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to hover over us like he did Mary, like he does to many people when we call upon his name. Okay? And let's see what the Lord does. Let's see, how what he reveals from heaven. And I know it's gonna bless many people, and maybe some people that just are totally like hiding. You know, we have to just pray for them. So I just want to say hi to all my YouTube friends, all my Facebook friends, and all of my Twitter friends. Okay, and so we're just gonna just sit back, you know, take your thinking caps off, because if we think too much about this, we're definitely gonna be we're gonna be influenced by the left side of the brain, which is analytical reasoning, and we want to just totally absorb this by faith. Okay, all right. So I'm kind of preparing you now, and also I want you to grab your Bibles, because we are going to go to Scripture. Okay, we're gonna integrate experience, what's going on in prophetic, what's going on through Revelation, and where it fits in the Scriptures, okay, as it relates to what the Lord's doing in the glory, in the body of Christ, and in the church, in the Catholic Church, which is, you know, we don't want to divide, but we know that there is denominations, and there's non-denominations, but God is, through the Holy Spirit, through common revelational experiences, he's bringing it all together. Okay. And so get your Bible. We're going to explore Scriptures in the Old Testament from Genesis, Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go into the New Testament. And we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, John, and the Book of Revelation. Okay, here's my husband, Dr. Jeff Kenneth, and he's going to pray with you, the listening audience. Okay?
Good evening, folks. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we ask for the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit to come down, wisdom, understanding, holiness, Lord, and faith, Lord. We just ask you to increase these gifts in the listener audience and increase them in ourselves, Lord. Just magnify your name, Lord. Magnify your name. Magnify. You are such a unique being, Lord. You are God and you are man. You are man undivided. You are God undivided. And it was because Miriam of Nazareth said yes to Gabriel when Gabriel was sent by the Father to ask if she would be your mother. And it's not John's word or Luke's word or Mark's word. Those are the words of God, because they're in our canon of Scripture that says when Gabriel was sent in the seventh month to a town called Nazareth to an unmarried woman named Miriam, in English, Mary, and asked her if she would participate in the plans of salvation. And that her participation was allowing God to give Jesus Christ, the unincarnate God, a physical body in which to dwell in. And he is truly God and truly man. And if that's a true statement and there is no division in God, then it goes to reason the following statement is true. So Mary is the mother of Jesus' human nature. She also partook in tending to his spiritual nature. And we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you. Glory to you. Glory to you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord God, Heavenly King. Hallelujah, Jesus. Almighty God and Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Fall on your people, Jesus. Fall on your people, Lord. Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall throughout the earth, Lord. your glory fall. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, mashira go pa 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 pa, kishira pa 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 pa, kishira pa 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 pa. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, hallelujah, glory to you, Jesus, glory to you. Sweet, oh, blessed, and in awe, take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly need to fill the heart with hast me to feel the heart which thou hast me. O comforter, to thee we cry, heavenly gift of God most. Life, a fire of love, and sweet anointing from above, and sweet anointing from glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Kashalamande. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Holy Spirit. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I thank you, Jeff, for just being so obedient to the Holy Spirit, that was so beautiful. He just went right into the what the church, you know, has sung for centuries. And it's such a powerful anointed mind. Come, Holy Ghost. And so we want to take you to the beginning, all right, when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the water. And we're going to look at Genesis chapters 1 through 3. All right, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go into different sections about the role of Mary and the glory. But we, you know, to do that, we've got to start from the beginning. Okay, all right. So let's go for it. I want you to turn to your Bibles in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, chapter 1. Okay, and my Bible, in my Bible, I got the, I believe it's the New International Version, and it's subtitled, The Beginning. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the earth teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. And so this comes to the account, this is chapter 7, Adam and Eve, and I'm going to give this to my husband, and he's going to read from the Adam and Eve creation to 25, chapter 2. You can read from my book if you want. It's okay. You got it? Okay, from the account of Adam and Eve, okay?
Second story of creation. At the time when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub on the earth and no grass of the field, had sprouted for the Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth. There was no man to till the soil, but a stream was welling up out of the earth and was watering all the surface of the ground. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and bad. A river rises in Eden to water the garden. Beyond there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pashan. It is the one that winds through the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is excellent. Bdellium and lapis lazuli are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is one that winds all the way through the land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It is one that flows east of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God then took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord gave man this order: you are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and bad. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him. So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be a suitable partner for the man. So the Lord cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then filled up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. The two of them become one body. The man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame.
Okay, now we go to the clincher of the story, the fall of man, and we're going to then go into why the role of Mary, the life of Mary was so important as the new Eve, okay, the fall of man. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gain and wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and this is talking about Jesus, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. And that's the meaning of Adam's name. It means dust, it means ground, it means the earth. Very significant, because we will be talking about the significance of the earth and the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet in the book of Revelation. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground on which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And one of the names of Jesus is the way. And he, you know, is the only one that partake of the tree of life through his life, death, and resurrection, through the blood. So that is, we enjoy that fruit through our relationship when we take Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, we take him into our hearts and confess our sins. And, you know, and then we, you know, he covers us with his blood. Okay, and then he sends us the Holy Spirit. So this is the beginning of creation and the role of the Holy Spirit and how he hovers over us. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God, okay? And the only way that we can ever receive life is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens in Luke, okay? I'm going to go to Luke, and I'm going to give the scriptures back to Jeff. We're going to go to Luke 1, okay? Luke 1, it's amazing how things correlate. And in Luke, all right, the Holy Spirit hovers over Mary, okay, the new Eve. Luke chapter 1, all right. And Jeff, you're already there, okay. And we have about 33 minutes left, so we're making good time. All right. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Here we go.
Luke chapter 1, starting at 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, also Miriam. And coming to her, he said, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit came upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
And so, you know, in that scripture, you know, I want to just go back to Luke 1, verse 35. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The power of the Most High is the Holy Spirit. And he was there at the beginning of creation in Genesis, where he hovered over the waters. Okay, so he hovered over Mary. For that conception to happen, for the incarnation to happen. And so, you know, she becomes the new Eve, and Jesus is the seed that will, bruise, that will bruise the head of the serpent, that would crush the head of the serpent as his heel is bruised. So the thing is, the point that I'm trying to make here is that the role of Mary becomes very significant. And it's so funny. When some of you that are listening to me right now know of Ruth Ward Heflin. She was a prophetess after God's own heart. And she wrote a series of glory books. I had the luxury of first meeting her in Jerusalem in 1987 when I took a pilgrimage to Israel with the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, and from there there was a group that was very committed to interceding for the peace of Jerusalem, and they called them Intercessors for Israel, an international group, and they're in various places throughout the world. But she, years later, was moved of the Lord to come back home to the United States, and she became a friend to the Catholic Church. And Monsignor Walsh, she became a very good friend of Monsignor Walsh. She had favor with the Catholic people because the Lord, that's what the Lord does. You know, he puts love, he pours his love for a people. And this is not only just for the Catholic people, but for the priests. Okay, because the Lord was saying he wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and that includes the priests, all right? And so one of the things that she understood about the Mass is that it was highly scriptural, coming out of the book of Revelation. But, of course, there was a controversy with the role of what they called, the prayer that they call Hail Mary. And it was so with the church over the years. You know, they didn't know whether to include that in liturgy of the daily Mass, or especially Sunday Mass, or to include that as a private devotion. And to this day, some, they leave that up to the discretion of the presiding pastor. But part of the prayer was the salutation of the angel Gabriel. And when Monsignor Walsh said that during the charismatic conferences that he would have, and where Sister Ruth was speaking, they would recite the the Angelus or the Hail Mary with of the Hail Mary where Angel Gabriel would make this announcement to the Blessed, you know, to Mary, this Jewish woman, okay? And the thing is, she was not just a Jewish woman, she was a Jewish teenager. She was a 14-year-old young maiden. And it's just the church's way of reliving that visitation, that encounter. And it's all scriptural. So Sister Ruth Wood Heflin recited that, but she didn't go beyond what she knew was scripture. And, of course, the second part of, you know, the first part of the Angelus or is from Luke, says, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus, okay? So, you know, it doesn't say that in this particular scripture, but in the scriptures that have not been, you know, taken out or watered down, that's what the angel Gabriel had said. He identified her as one full of grace, okay, and then told her how she was going to conceive, all right? So the second part of the Angelus, you know, is something that many evangelicals object to because they think, oh, this is Mary worship, okay? And, you know, that's the Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death, amen. So that was the part that Sister Ruth didn't feel comfortable to recite because she couldn't find it anywhere in Scripture. Of course, part of the thing, you know, what the church does is they have the response of the people. So, you know, part of the prayers is, you know, if it's Scripture, it comes directly from Scripture. And then there's a expected response. That's how the church, that's how the church comprises, puts prayers together, okay? They start with Scripture from the standpoint of Scripture. And then they leave, you know, then they leave room or set a standard for the people to respond. And so that's, you know, that's what the Hail Mary is all about. And again, that this is a point of controversy. But, you know, there's an agreement that Mary is holy, okay? And, you know, in the docs, and she sings a song in here because in the song, is centuries old. It goes all the way back to a testimony. Now, if somebody had a God encounter, wouldn't they, isn't it suffice to say that, you know, you've got to give a witness? This is the oldest living witness of the encounter, of a God encounter of the Holy Spirit after, that preceded the birth of Jesus, okay? So, you know, the disciples that were around her after the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus died and rose again, you know, and went up to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father to send the Holy Spirit, she had to make an account with the disciples, with the apostles, of her encounter. So this is the oldest living encounter of Mary's experience or testimony of the Holy Spirit hovering over her as she conceived Jesus. And Jeff, do you want to read that prayer?
Before you switch to that, I want to talk about the passage that she told about.
Okay. All right. So before I go into Mary's sign, we have 23 minutes, so I just want to get to the revelation, you know, where we are now. Okay. All right. Here is Jeff.
And I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, starting at 39. Mm-hmm. Now, the angel Gabriel made a revelation to Mary about her kinswoman, who was a Levite, who had become pregnant after not being pregnant for many years and probably even having stopped the possibility of being pregnant at all. During those days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does it happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, who's speaking? We're talking about God's privileged tribe called Levites. Now, this privilege that God gave them was to, they were to be the intercessory prayer for the whole people, and they had a special anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. So Elizabeth is moved when she greets the Holy Spirit in Jesus, which is inhabiting Mary's body through Jesus, and she's reacting to it, and she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. So it is not, it is biblical to say Mary is the mother of God, because there's more detail, and I am going to do more work on that, and we will discuss it in greater detail in another show. Here's Shirley.
Very well said, Jeff. And again, you always check this out in Luke 1. Okay. We are all called to be Marys, you know, because we all contain the Holy Spirit. We all give birth to Jesus, okay, especially as we say yes to Him. We give birth to Jesus every day in our lives when we offer up worship and we ask for an open heaven, and we the Holy Spirit fills us with good things, and we're just exuberant in the glory and leaving deposits of heaven in different places. So, you know, especially in our relationships with each other, and so it becomes contagious, and, you know, there's a birth process of that happening over and over and over again. So Mary, you know, in her gratitude of what the Holy Spirit did, offers this song, and the song is like the oldest song since the incarnation of what the Holy Spirit did for Mary, okay, and what the Holy Spirit does for mankind, and you know, it's just based on this incredible encounter, this God encounter. If I had a God encounter like that, I mean, every encounter I have, I love to talk about it, you know, because I want to give, you know, people hope in this world of darkness, and, you know, that there is a God. So anyways, Mary's song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She's saying God is her Savior. Okay, the people that said, well, Mary had a Savior, they use that argument. Of course, she said so in Luke. All right? So she's rejoicing in God her Savior. That's what was revealed to her. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's talking about herself. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the awesome fear of the Lord. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So, this is Mary's account. This is her testimony of the God encounter, the one of the oldest testimonies of the Holy Spirit hovering over a daughter of Israel that was about ready to give birth to Messiah, that was about ready to conceive Messiah through the Holy Spirit. So I just, that's one of my favorite testimonies. You know, if I don't have a testimony during that day, I just go right back to that first testimony to give me hope. So I just thank you for that. Okay, we have 17 more minutes, and, you know, I just hope that God is just touching people with understanding and giving them wisdom and just taking, you know, taking, and healing you of any judgmental thoughts or misunderstandings you've had over the years, for from teachings that maybe the church was, maybe because of people, human beings that were supposed to be teaching the truth didn't know how to do that because they didn't consult Scripture, and they didn't understand Scripture. Okay, and then in the book of John, it talks about when Jesus began his first ministry in Cana, and, he knew his time was coming, but she knew better because she has the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit has hovered over her, and the Holy Spirit's been her guide and been her comforter. This is Mary I'm talking about. And she just knew the time that it was time for Jesus to begin his public ministry. And is John 2, dear? Okay. And my husband's going to read that. All right. John 2. Okay. I mean, you got to, you understand, folks, when the Holy Spirit has you and the Holy Spirit, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit, you can't help but, like, be attentive to what he's showing you and be obedient. So, Jeff, honey, why don't you read Jesus changes water into wine.
Okay. I just have a comment to say before I read the scripture. In the Middle East, it is an equal offense as the offense of profaning the name of God, to violate rules of hospitality. And Mary saw that there was something going to happen, and it would have, if she did not intercede, it would have tarnished the marital relationship in the family's relationship in the community. Because there was weddings were 7 days events, and they were always involving the community.
She's a woman of honor.
And she honored the fact that she knew what to do because she was trained in how to conduct such situations as a girl. And that John chapter 2, starting at 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I want to make a comment about that. That was a declarative prayer unto God. And God was standing right in front of Mary when she said it. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them to draw some out and take it to the head waiter. So they took it, and when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana, in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. After this, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples went down to Capernaum to stayed there only a few days.
Now, Jeff, I wanted you to go to the end of John when, the crucifixion, and John and Jesus entrusted his mother to John, okay?
Yes. Now, let's see, where does it go? Prayer of Jesus, 17, 18. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is not, where is he? At the cross, chapter 19. Okay. Do you want me to read the whole section? I'll start right before that. And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each shoulder. They also took the tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it will be," in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. And Jesus was giving Mary into the care of John. And if Jesus had brothers and sisters, as some purportedly claim, they would have been responsible for Mary. And here's Shirley.
And the other side of that, too, is that at the cross, Jesus had given his mom to the disciples and whom he loved the most, which is John. That's how they, you know, described the love that he had, you know, that Jesus had for John. And he loved him so much, he gave his mother over to his care. And in that, because John, for the most part, represented the church, that he also, at the same time Jesus is given, his mom to the church, you know, every baptized believer, because she's the new Eve, okay? And so that's very important, because it says in Ephesians about, you know, Apostle Paul talks about the significance of children obeying parents, you know? And in this kingdom, we have Father God. We have a Father, Abba, okay? Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, consoler, and it's the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and you know, and they share in this unity through love, and also the Mary's there as our mother, and she has received eternal life like everyone. You know, death. The Lord Jesus came to take the sting out of death. Okay, and in that death is asleep. That's why there's resurrections. That's why there can be resurrection. You know, resurrections happen because if a person's ordained, to go to be resurrected from the dead. I'm saying the wrong word, not ordained, but what do you call it? The fate or destiny. Some people call it to undergo resurrection, to experience resurrection, to tell people what's happened in the kingdom, that maybe they've gone to the gates of hell and they want to come back and tell people. You don't want to go there. You need to receive Jesus. But if their destiny has not been fulfilled, the Lord will allow them to come back, to accomplish a greater purpose here on the earth, okay? And so, people that have been resurrected from the dead have an understanding that death is asleep. But then you close your eyes, and then next thing you know, you open them up in another place, okay? And usually it's there. You know, God wants to show you where you are, where what the condition of your soul is. And if you're right with the Lord and it's time for you to go, you're going to wake up into eternal life, okay? Especially if you see Jesus as Lord and Savior in the natural. Of course, we're spiritual beings, and we do live a supernatural walk, okay? And so what happens is that, you know, we are on this side of the glory, we are only living a small fragment of what we're called to live, okay? But the Lord will open up our spiritual eyes and ears and give us understanding, all right? So it's so important to obey your parents because they, you know, Mary is a parent, and she has appeared to people, children. It says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth, all right? So here, this is also talking to people, you know, who have earthly mothers and fathers as well. But, you know, the only reason why we need to do this is so it sets us up to honor our Heavenly Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit the Comforter and Mary the Mother of God. Now, Mary comes... has come over the centuries in many forms, and she's always come with the message of to do what Jesus tells you to do, okay, tells us to do, and with certain instructions for different people of different time periods. And I just wanted Jeff to read something that our church had put out, and we only have a couple minutes left. We have about 5 minutes left. And this is a confirmation of why the Muslims are receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior through revelation. Okay, it's the prayers of many people, but you'll understand the significance of what is happening in the spirit all over the world. That's why it's very important for us to pray, and stop the judgment. Of what you think, who you think Muslims are, who you think Catholics are, who you think, you know, your brother and sister is down the street struggling and said, it's very important to pray because this will, you know, really cause them to become strong in the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jeff, why don't you read that first part?
Reflect the message. Mary is queen of all. Let us take to heart that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. To celebrate the queenship of Mary on August 22nd, we appreciate her.
Well, just say that. Talk about why about the queen. But we want to be biblical. We want to remain biblical.
I don't have that on the top of my brain.
Okay. All right. My husband, for some reason, he's like, okay. No problem. We're doing this live. There's a part in here. Okay. And I know that there's been conflict about, you know, calling Mary the Queen of Heaven because it sounds so much like the Queen of Heaven that was talked about in the Old Testament, and how many people refer to that as Diana worship. And I want to tell you that all those things that were abomination were actually, they were abomination because they were before the time, and they were counterfeits of what was to really take place in salvation history after the birth of Jesus, okay? We are all kings, and we are all prophets, and we have a participation in the kingdom of God. And so there are, you know, people that are queens. There are people that, you know, we're looking at the royalty of what it is like to live in a kingdom, okay? So let's, this is what this message from Medjugorje was all about, July 25th, 2009. And this was a response to a visionary, okay? It says, tell this priest, tell everyone that it is you who are divided on the earth, okay? So she's the Blessed Mother comes as ambassador of Jesus, okay, and says, because she has eternal life, she's in the glory, okay, all right? Tell this priest, tell everyone that it is you who are divided, the Muslims and the Orthodox, for the same reason as Catholics are equal before my son and me. You are all my children. Certainly all religions are not equal, but all men are equal before God, as St. Paul says. It does not suffice to belong to the Catholic Church to be saved, but it is necessary to respect the commandments of God and follow in one's conscience. Those who are not Catholic are no less creatures made in the image of God and destined to rejoin someday the house of the Father. Salvation is available to everyone without exception. Only those who refuse God deliberately are condemned. To him who has been given little, little will be asked for. To whomever has been given much, very much will be required. It is God alone in his infinite justice who determines the degree of responsibility and pronounces judgment. Okay, so, you know, I can only go so far as to say God is love, and we have 1 minute left, and we really need to have another show about, you know, the apparitions and why they are happening now and how they fall in line with you know, what the other prophets that are saying that are not necessarily Catholic, how they are all falling in line and pointing towards the coming of Jesus, second coming of Jesus. So I just hope that you are blessed with this, and stay tuned for part two. We are going to do a part two because we really feel we don't want to leave a cliffhanger. So God bless you, all right, and may God keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you and bring you to everlasting peace. Have a wonderful evening. We love you. Bye-bye.